Our New Testament reading comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, as he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
We're no different from an animal lying by the side of the road. Life after death is just a myth. This is Billy Graham's response as he wrote back to this young man. He said, your letter deeply saddened me because it means you are living without hope. Have you honestly faced how empty and meaningless this will make your life? If you think there's nothing after death, if there's no judgment, no justice, it means what we do here and now doesn't really matter. That's what Billy Graham is saying. But this certain day of judgment means that our lives have eternal significance. The day-to-day does matter, doesn't it? Because Jesus will one day judge us, each one of us. And where we spend eternity depends on whether we are prepared to meet Christ as our judge. So how can we be ready? That's what we're going to think about for the remaining time. How can we be ready for this day? Well, as the second point on your handout says, by being on the right side. And I actually mean that literally being on the right side, not here and now, don't worry, those who are sitting on the right and the left, but on the final day, being on the right, being part of God's people, one of the sheep, one of the flock. And here, I think we come to a slight issue that people have had with this passage. Because on first reading, it might appear that being on the right side, being part of the flock, is dependent on your own kind of good works. On actually our own good works, meaning that we get access into heaven. And actually, if you're a Christian here today, you know that the whole Bible preaches against that. It can't be our own good works. We can never do enough good to enter heaven. Now, entry into heaven is dependent on trusting in the Lord. But lots of people read this passage this way. They say, well, it looks like on first reading that if I just do some good stuff, well, then that's enough. And the Lord accepts those people. As if verses 35 to 39 were talking about kind of general charity work, or maybe you know, you walk an old lady across the street, or you're generally a nice person. But actually, I think we can clarify what Jesus is talking about and how the two sides are decided by verse 40. This is what verse 40 says. The king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." That's the key phrase, "my brothers." See, Christ uses these familial terms only for his disciples, his people. So the most obvious example in Matthew is back in chapter 10, verse 40. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's talking about the kind of response they're going to receive as they go out into the world. And Christ says this to them, verse 40, "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." See, it's not general acts of love Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the nations and their response to the people of God who are currently here on earth. See, Jesus ties himself to his disciples very closely. There's a very close link. So think about it like this. If you've ever walked into a pub showing a football match, you know what the Lord is talking about. You walk in and you're wearing your team's colours. And you know the response you're going to get. Half the pub are going to boo and shout abuse at you as you enter in and you head over to your fellow supporters. But your fellow supporters, you know, well, they're going to greet you warmly, aren't they? They're going to tap you on the back, shake your hand, buy you a drink, find you a chair to sit on. Because how they treat you shows which side you're on. Are they on the same side as you or not? See, how we treat the disciples of Jesus shows what we think of Jesus himself. It shows us whether we're on his team or not. And so here, Christ is teaching us about the nature of faith itself. He's saying, what does faith actually look like in a disciple? And he says it is a faith that shows itself in a very natural care and love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what real faith looks like. Because notice, it is a surprise in verses 37 to 40. It's so natural for the sheep, for those on the right, that they had no idea they were really serving the Lord as they went about serving his disciples. See, they questioned Jesus. They, when did we do these things? It is a surprise. And yet it is the basis on which Jesus will make his judgment at the end of time. It's as if Jesus is saying, come and join my team. If Christ is your king and you have a living faith, you will find yourself easily identifying with his people, loving them, caring for them. Whoever they are, wherever they are, that will be your concern before the Lord returns. Because it's only a living faith that works itself out in acts of love and kindness that Jesus recognizes. See, Christ can never just be served with your lips. It can never just be lip service. It must be your whole heart. It must be acts of love and service. That's what a living faith looks like. So however nice we appear, well, the Lord looks into our hearts, doesn't he? He sees our motivations. He sees whether we trust him or not, whether we've really bowed the knee, or whether we just attend church every Sunday just to tick the box. Did you notice that the Lord doesn't have a register here for Judgment Day? He doesn't look at your attendance at church and make his decision based on that. It's based on the reality of your love for him, shown in your love for his people. So kind of superstitious spirituality, if I can say it, And it doesn't really work, does it? Church attendance doesn't really work. Those who think they'll be fine without the Lord, well, they're hedging their bets, aren't they? They're willing to risk eternity based on a hunch rather than the clear words of the Lord Jesus. So as we end, I wonder if we are ready for the Lord's return. Many people will be making New Year's resolutions in a few days. I'm sure they will include exercising, losing weight, you know, stopping bad habits, generally being a nicer person. I wonder if, in light of the Lord's return, we might make a resolution to be ready for it. And that it might be a resolution that we make, not just on New Year's Day, once a year, but every day, that it shapes our reality. It defines how we live from the day to day. Because we know that this day is universal. It is binary. It is fair. It is certain. This day is coming, whether we are prepared for it or not. And you see how Jesus says that it will define those who come to him? Look at the words that he says for those who are unprepared. He says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire." See, but for those who are prepared, for those who have bowed the knee, who love the Lord and his people, well, Christ will say to them, "Come, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the worlds." They're the words that I long to hear from my Lord. I hope you do too. And so I wish you a happy new year. And let's pray as we end that we are also ready for the return of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, these words are often difficult to hear, and yet we praise you that the Lord warns us of that certain day of judgment when he will divide the world in two. And Father, we pray that you would help us be ready for that day, that we would have a living faith that shows itself in acts of love and service for the Lord Jesus and his people. And that one day, as we stand before him, he would say, "Come," and we would enter into that eternal glory, into his kingdom, the new creation. And we pray this